That is Go-Go's and Vacation from 1982. We apparently are about half an hour away from the fursuit parade, so since I've got a couple moments, I am going to introduce you all to somebody that... our new best friend in the world. Some of you have seen the videos of Flo running around, rolling around the giant ball of yarn with my daughter, Tiny Tribble. Well, Flo's gamma decided, nah, I'm not going to go. All right, I'm going to go. And then finally, okay, I'm going. There's a whole big thing behind it. I don't know what the heck happened. But all I know is Flo's grandma is finally with us. Hi, hon. How are you?
Doing really good.
Excellent. All right, so besides just being called Flo's grandma, which is all well and good, what name can we call you by for yourself?
You can call me Sue.
Sue works. Sue works. I like Sue. Sue's a good name. Damn it, I just picked out a different song, and I think it's out of my time frame, so it's okay. I was thinking, we were talking off the air a little while ago, and I was telling her how doing all this music for me is like, people talk about stuff, I gotta put stuff together in my head, and now I got a boy named Sue stuck in my head, because I've had people ask for that before. It's like, cool, that's outside of my time frame, I think. I'll have to go looking, but that's okay. I'm sure you've probably heard that too many times already as it is, so I won't do that.
Oh, yes.
So we were just talking a few moments ago, and you're saying how you've come down here and you've gotten the chance to make all kinds of new friends. So many friends. This is the first time that you've been to one of these conventions before, right?
Oh, yes.
It's okay. You can use more words than that. That's all right.
Oh, yeah.
And now that you've had the opportunity of seeing... I'm assuming the Flo's kind of talked to you about these things before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She has.
All right. Now that you've had the descriptions and the talking and the explanations, and I'm assuming, of course, the occasional video and photographs and such, the reality compared to all that other stuff now, how does the reality compare to what you learned from just talking and pictures and videos? Have you enjoyed it far and away more than you thought that you would?
Okay, the reality of seeing all of them going around, it can't be explained with words. You have to see it. You have to experience it.
It is something, isn't it?
Oh, it's out of this world.
You can pull the mic a little bit closer.
Okay.
Yeah, almost eating it is fine.
Okay.
I mean, the whole reason why I bought this little piece of $20 thing is so I can actually do this right onto it. I didn't spend a lot of money on the microphones, but at least they're decent. But, the opportunity of going to a convention is so amazing. Like I was saying, we've had the opportunity of talking while the music's been playing, kind of comparing notes on some stuff. Only for us to find out that you have a story about my idol that I had no idea was going to end up popping up suddenly. We were talking about how I positively adore all kinds of different music, and I love Jack Benny. And it turned out that you had a story from when you were younger that all of a sudden just enthralled me. So would you mind going through and boring yourself and going through it one more time?
So you want me to explain how I met Jack Benny?
See, this is why I love these things. You never know what's going to happen. Yes, I want you to do. Because can you see all of the, like, green in my face now? So envious of this.
All right. When I was very young, he used to come to a lodge down in my hometown every year. And he used to go fishing. He loved fishing. Needless to say, I had a cousin that was a waitress at the lodge, and I went down and asked her if maybe I could meet him. And she brought him, went over to him and asked, and he said, most definitely. And I met him, and he was an awesome man. He wasn't anything like you would have seen on his shows. He was kind-hearted. He was a joy to talk to. He really was.
Now, as we've seen and heard on the shows, because piece of information you didn't know about, I didn't get to tell you yet. During my shows, there are twice a year that I actually turn over my 80s show to Jack Benny and play his stuff. The first is the closest show to his birthday, which is, of course, Valentine's Day. And I play some of his shows. Sometimes I'll have a birthday episode in there, or something that just kind of makes me smile. And then the first Wednesday after Thanksgiving in the U.S., all right, so we'll have to wrap this up in 10 minutes. All right, so we've got a 10-minute marker. All right. Anyway, the second time is the first show after Thanksgiving in the United States, because that's where I'm based out of. Because traditionally for us, that is the beginning of the Christmas holiday shopping season. And you've heard all the horror stories down our side of people getting trampled and such. Yeah, it's as bad as you've heard, and worse sometimes. But I play a collection of his Christmas shopping episodes. So all of the ones where Jack is going through and he's trying to find out, what kind of cufflinks are we going to get for Don? What kind of shoelaces are we going to get for Don? What kind of gopher trap are we going to get for Don for his wife? And I have had people who are kids, and I say kids quietly, 20s, early 20s, mid-20s, who are just like, all right, fine, I'll listen to this. There's nothing else I was planning on doing. At the beginning, they're kind of, all right, what is this? And I've had on many an occasion people at the end of the shows who are just like, where do I find more?
Yeah.
I love how timeless most of the comedy is timeless. There's some things where, I mean, let's face it, almost nobody remembers who Andy Devine was anymore. Or Frank Nelson. Or Mary or Rochester. They know some of the caricatures because they've carried over. But Mel Blanc. So many times over Mel Blanc. Do you remember how Mel started on his show on the radio?
That's stretching my memory.
That's okay. That's okay. It turns out, Mel Blanc, for those of you that don't remember, Mel, the man of a thousand voices, who was Bugs Bunny and so many of the Warner Brothers, he started on Jack's show as Carmichael the Polar Bear, with snarling and such. And then it became Polly, his parrot. And the thing that really got him to becoming a thing was the sound effect of Jack's car. A 1918, I think it was, Maxwell. Now, Maxwell doesn't exist anymore. And that was the joke. Maxwell was basically almost gone by the time Jack was on. But he supposedly had this 20-plus-year-old jalopy. And normally for the sound effect for the car, they had a record. And it was pumped through the system, and it would go over the air so that, you know, you'd have the sound effect. And Mel realized they didn't have it plugged in. So it was coming up on the time for it, and all of a sudden he just... and made the sound himself. And ever after, he became the sound of the car. And he finally, after 6 months of this, finally said... Mr. Benny, you know, I can actually talk too. And finally got speaking roles on. So he ended up being all kinds of characters, dogs and crickets and everything, horses. So if you ever get the opportunity of hearing, you can find so many of his shows just available online for free now. So many of them are public domain. If you want to go back through memory lane and listen to them, they're still alive and kicking and doing great.
Oh, I always go back through memory lane because the shows I found were better back then.
In a lot of ways, yeah. It amazes me how much was done with the old Warner Brothers shorts I grew up with as a kid on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so much has changed, so much is different. And I so keep going back to the old hand-painted cells of yesteryear that were amazing.
Yeah, they were...
Oh, it was great. It was grade. All right. So now that we've gone ahead and stroked our individual egos over how much we remember from way back when, back to now. We've only got a couple more minutes before the parade. We were talking about the suits themselves, how they in some cases, put to shame the professionally built mascots now. You've seen so many of these now up close and personal. Have they blown away your expectation of what these look like?
Yeah, they really have. Like, I'm amazed how they can do what they've done with the material they have. It's like out of this world.
It blows me away. All right, now, this is going to sound very sexist for a second, and for anybody that's taking it out of context, forgive me. You're old enough to remember when the expectation was that you, as a woman in the day, you should know how to use a sewing machine. You should know how to sew all these things. Why don't you know how to do this? You're supposed to. Why don't you? I don't follow up by any stretch, but you remember the expectation of then, where you're expected to have known about how to do this stuff. And I got to imagine, looking at these now and maybe pulling back some of these ideas of what was expected then, you should know how to do these things. Looking at these now and having some appreciation for what had to have gone into for designing, for creating, for putting these things together with the new materials and the changes and the foam and the pieces you can mold and shape and hot wire and glue gun and snaps and buttons and things. You look at these now, would you have the knowledge of what goes into, just from looking at them now, of how much time and energy and effort of designing, never mind hand-stitching some of this stuff together now? I've had time to work on leather for myself of designing stuff, and I look at this stuff and I think, how do you even conceive of putting these things together and seams and buttons and switches and dials and things? Have you even considered, if I wanted to do this, what would I even possibly think of?
I don't think I could do this. Like, this is... their imagination and their creativity is beyond, like... It's amazing.
It's great. I love seeing it. The imagination that goes into all this stuff, it is really blows people's minds. So, since we are a little less than 2 minutes to the show, let's just finish this off over here. It is wonderful to have you here. I'm so glad that you were able to make it. 5 minutes? 2 minutes? 5 minutes? You know what? We're almost ready. So, fine. We will do that. 2 minutes? 2 minutes it is. All right. So, we will do that. Since we got 2 minutes, is there anything that you are still looking forward to doing? You were telling me about having your husband come down to pick you up. What are you waiting to see when he comes to pick you up?
I'm waiting to see him realize that this is not play. This is relaxation. This is so that your life can get on and you can enjoy a little bit more of it.
It's been fun so far, hasn't it?
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Sue, thank you so much. Flo, I know that you're going to be listening afterwards. Thank you for bringing her down here. And maybe, just maybe, we get to see you next year too. Maybe.
I'm not sure. My husband and I run our own business, so sometimes it's very hard. But I am hoping to get back another time.
Love to see you. Thank you so much, hon. It was truly, truly a pleasure and truly an honor on my part to have you come down for this all. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you.
Okay. We are just about ready for the fursuit parade. I don't have anything that is too short. So let's just go ahead and do this. We have about 45 seconds worth. About 30 seconds. Okay. Which means it is time. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Children of all ages, it is my grand, wonderful pleasure to introduce for you the Fursuit Parade 2014. Thank you for entering.